Welcome to Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are.
On today's program, we'll see how Paul encouraged Timothy to teach sound doctrine in the midst of the false teachers in Ephesus and encourage the believers to put their hope in the living God. Here is part three of Cheryl's message titled, Be the Example.
What did you put your trust in? Was the trust in the boat?
Like, oh, Peter's boat, he'll take us through anything.
Was your trust in your own experience? I've done these seas so many times, I know what to do in a storm. I'm fully educated for this. Was it in your own strength? I'm so strong, I can make it through any storm. Was it in the strength of the other disciples? Well, as long as they're working with me, we'll make this happen. What was it in? Was it in the weather? This never lasts for long. What was your faith in? Was your faith in the sea that it was going to overcome you? Was your faith in the storm that it was stronger than God? What was your faith in? You see, it takes a labor. It takes and even a bit of suffering to say, no, I am going to trust God. I'm going to choose to trust the living God. No matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what is happening, I'm going to trust God. I think of trust as weightlifting. And I think of it like trust is lifting the burdens to God. Right? Trust is lifting the burdens to God. I don't know if I told you this before, I'm sure I have, but my grandson, Judah, when he was a little baby, we went up to stay with him, and he started, you know, kind of crying. He woke up, and I wanted his parents to sleep, so I went in there, and I held out my hands, and he held them back, and so I went to pick him up, and he was too heavy. And I was like, oh, I didn't expect this. And the thought came to me, lift him with your knees. Remember how they say do the lifting with your knees and your core? And it was like, okay. And I thought, wow, spiritually, I got to make sure I lift the weights with my knees. I've got to pray and commit all the burdens to God. I've got to take the weights of perilous times and difficulties, and I've got to give them to God. Next, Timothy is to instruct the brethren. The Spirit already said these times would come. Apostasy from the faith and demonic activity should not come as a surprise. Timothy was trying to say, was supposed to say to the people, this is not a surprise to God. God knew this. God prepared for this. He was to remind the people of the truth of what the Word of God says about food and marriage. Both are good. Both are good. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God looked over all his creation. He looked over Adam and Eve and said, this is good. And he said they are sanctified, promoted, and ordained by God's word and prayer. When we're seeking the Lord, we can't go wrong. You know what I realized one time? It's like, you know, I would have younger people, because I was teaching at the Bible college, come to me and say, I'm so afraid I'm going to miss the will of God. What if I miss the will of God? I'm like, do you love God? Yes. Then you won't miss it. Do you want to do the will of God? Yes. Then you won't miss it. God has these wonderful ways of keeping us with his rod and staff, right? Right in the center of his will. I know that times that I've started to get off, that's when the chastening and the discipline came. What? Because I was naughty? No. Because he loves me so much that he didn't want me to miss out on the promises and the goodness of his will. Next, be sure to feed on the words of faith. Now, I love the way that Paul used, he's talking about the word of God, right? But he calls it the words of faith, right? Words of faith, because the Bible has the power to build our faith. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I'm glad some of you are here. So Timothy is himself to feed on the word of God. This is part of his self-preparedness. Years ago, when my mom's dementia started and I was taking care of her, my mother-in-law sent me a book, and it was called Put Your Own Oxygen Mask On First. And I began to read it. And in the first chapter, it talked about how health givers, health providers, usually are the first to die. If there's a husband and wife, it's usually the one that's healthier that dies first because of all the care that he has to give, which is exactly the case in my parents' relationship. It was my dad that went first. But I remember it said that when you're on an airplane, remember how they say, put your oxygen mask on first before trying to help your children. Well, I was saying this in the company of a flight attendant, and she said, you know, that is so true. What they don't tell you is if you don't get your oxygen mask on in 10 seconds, you'll black out. She said, you can be revived if you get oxygen, but she said, if you don't get that oxygen mask on, you black out, you can't help anybody. So in your attempt to help somebody, you will black out and you'll lose the person you're trying to help and yourself also. So the only way that Timothy can help others is if he's prepared himself. He has to be nourished in the word of faith. It has to be first for Timothy before it can be for anybody else. Every study I do, it has to be first for me. If I'm not living by this word, if I'm not practicing this word, I can't give it out. I've told you this story before, but because I'm weak, it's a day of stories. But one time I had these people over, and this recipe just sounded so good. It was a spinach artichoke casserole. Doesn't that sound so good? Because I know the spinach artichoke dip, which is to die for. So I thought, this is so good. So I made it, and I was about to take it to the table, fresh out of the oven, I decided to try a little bite. It was the most awful taste I have ever put in my mouth. And on my way to the table, I just made a 180. Went right back to the garbage disposal and down it went. And they're like, no, maybe we would have liked it. I'm like, nope, you wouldn't have liked it. There was poison in the pot. And if I don't like it, I'm not feeding it to you. You know, I don't make food and go, well, I don't like it, but maybe they will. No, that never works. In fact, even if you like it, your kids might not like it. So we must first be nourished in the Word of God. Next, resistance training. Timothy is to refuse to compromise or waste time arguing over profane fables and wives' fables. This is godless speculation and wives' fables. This really does have to do with conspiracy theories. I mean, they say 90% of the things you worry about will never happen. And how many times are we just caught up, you know, with talking about this and that? This is profane, godless speculation. The internet gossip, that is godless speculation. You know what they're saying? This is the world without God. This is the world without God. We have the Lord. We can talk about Jesus. Jesus, you know, it says in Colossians that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Jesus. We have only begun to mine for the diamonds and rubies that are in the gospel and in Jesus Christ. I also think, and you might get mad and never come back, but that's okay because I hope you're convicted. But I think also sometimes these prophecies that come on the internet, like when the rapture is, right? And then it doesn't happen and everybody's like, you know, but I remember more people giving us this book. It was in, we were living in England at the time, so it was the 90s, that Jesus was going to come before the year 2000. He didn't come. And, you know, everyone got their hope in this. And then when Jesus didn't come, a lot of people departed from the faith. A lot of people, after my dad died, departed from the faith because they were sure my father was going to be raptured. And when he wasn't, they departed from the faith. I want you to know, my dad did not lose his conviction that the rapture was going to happen. He said, well, I just guess I'll be there when everyone else gets there. And he used to always say that he wanted to be the person in Revelation chapter 6, that when everyone began to cry because nobody was worthy to take the scrolls and loose the seals, which would start the tribulation, that he wanted to be the guy that said, don't cry, look, the Lamb of God has prevailed. Like, here comes Jesus. I think God gave my dad that privilege. I was singing that song about heaven, holy, holy, holy. And the thought came to me, I think it was the Spirit, saying, your dad's ready to point to Jesus. My dad always pointed to Jesus, and he's still pointing to Jesus. Sorry. But I think when we're trying to figure out the identity of the Antichrist more than the identity of Jesus Christ, we're in trouble. Who is Jesus? How much power does Jesus have? What has Jesus done? What are the ramifications and the implications of Jesus? Or when we try to figure out what the mark of the beast is, or who's got it and who doesn't have it, if they've been vaccinated, we're in profane and godless speculation and wives' fables, or where the U.S. is during the tribulation. Why? You want to be here? You know what? It's vain. It's useless. It's profane. It's not sacred. We are to be dealing with the sacred. We've got Jesus Christ. We've got Jesus. We've got the Son of God. We've got his precious blood that was shed for our sins. Why would we talk about anything less than Jesus, especially in the church? Why would we point people any other way than to the Lamb of God who has prevailed to take away the sin of the world? Why? Okay, just don't go there. Resist, resistance training. Push against those things. Push against those things. Then, set an example. No one is to despise Timothy's youth, but he is to be an example to all the believers. In other words, live it out. Let them see you and want it. Make their appetite thirsty. And he says it starts with the way you talk. Don't talk like those without a hope. Talk like those who have hope in the living God. How you talk, in the words that you use. Are your words filled with grace? Do they draw people in, or do they repulse people? You know, are you one of those? Like, I was in England one time walking through the park, and there was this lady dressed like a nurse, and she had a megaphone. And this is how she was sharing the gospel. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. Of course, she did it with an English accent. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. And I walked by, and I went, I'm going to heaven because I got Jesus. And she's like, you only think you have Jesus, you're going to hell. And I was like, who does that attract? Who wants that? You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Timothy, by the way you talk, by the way you live, by your conduct, that you actually live these things out. Show people how it's done. How you love. How you love. Remember how it says in John 13? All men will know your believers by your love. Oh, how are we on the love scale? Where are we on the love scale? Love. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. And then joy, peace. My dad used to say, love is the fruit of the Spirit. And all those are attributes of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. In your attitude, or in your spirit, he says, but that's your attitude. What's your perspective on things? What's your attitude about trials? What's your attitude about difficulties? What's your attitude about housework or dishes or laundry? What's your attitude? My daughter one time, when she was three, she was going around and she had gotten one of my dish towels and she was going, stupid, stupid table, stupid table, all this dust. She's only three. And I'm like, where did she get that? Moi? And I realized, oh no, in my conduct, I had been cursing all my furniture. And so she became a cursor of my furniture. You know, it's got to be in our attitudes, our spirit, how we are with difficulties and hard places. And then finally, impurity, in our integrity. Then he says, put your concentration in these things. Put your concentration in reading the word. And I really believe this was to the people. Because already he said, you yourself are nourished in the word of faith. But read the word of God to the people. Remember, they were illiterate, the majority of the population. So they needed to hear the word of God and what the Bible said. Next, he said exhortation, encouraging the people in living for the Lord. That encouragement, you can do this. The Lord is on the throne. And finally, in doctrine. What the Bible teaches about who God is, what God has done, the reliability of scriptures. Oh, there's so much to sound doctrine, so much to be involved in, to be talking about. Then he says, use the gifts God has given you. Timothy received this gift when the elders laid hands on him and prayed. Now, we're not told specifically what this gift is, but I believe this gift was leadership and teaching. And I believe that's what Timothy was a little bit timid to do. So Paul says, Timothy, do it. You've got the Holy Spirit. You can do this. In 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11, funny enough, this chapter, 1 Peter 4, is talking about the latter times, the times and the difficulties and persecution. And this is what Peter says about how we're to live. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Do it by the Spirit. Let's be people that do what we do by the Spirit of God, by the gifting he has given us. Like Shop today with the worship, using her gift that God has given us, her giving us that edification, Use what God has given you. Then meditate on these things. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the instruction of Paul. Meditate on the doctrine. And I think of Psalm 1 where it says, you know, he that meditates in these things day and night. So meditation means to actually chew the cud. It's to bring something back. Well, cows bring it back from the first stomach so they can send it to the second stomach. But, you know, it's to bring that up and to get every bit of nutrition and every bit of flavor out of it. So with the Word of God, we're to think about it. Get all the flavor, savor the flavor. Get all the flavor, get all the nutrition out of it. And that happens as we continue to think of it. Don't just have our devotions and then be like those people who forget what they heard, forget what they read that James talks about in James 1. We don't want to be forgetful hearers. We want to meditate on these things. And then what happens? According to Psalm 1, we become a tree. Plant it. We don't shake with shaky times. We are established. And not only are we established, but when drought comes, we stay green. We bear fruit. That's what happens with meditation. Then he says, take heed. Take heed. Like, do it. Just do it. Just do it. Nike does not have the something on that saying. Yes, whatever that was. Take heed, devote yourself. And then he says, by continuing to do these things, continuing to exercise himself to godliness, continuing to instruct the people, he would have his own oxygen mask on, and he would be able to put the oxygen mask on others. And when do you do that? When the plane is going to crash, when the plane is in trouble, during shaky times, Timothy would save himself and others if he continued in these things. So in conclusion, that's your attitude, not mine. I'm sitting. I'm ready to go another hour. No. We live in perilous times. But these times that we live in are no surprise to God. He said in the end times, remember, that there'd be pestilence. He said there'd be wars and rumors of wars. As leaders, we need to not get caught up in the times or weird theories or superstitions, but we need to exercise ourselves to godliness by labor and suffering, instructing others, nourishing ourselves in the word of faith, rejecting useless fables, setting an example, making the word an exhortation and doctrine a priority, using the gifts and doing what we do by the Spirit of the living God and what he has given us, and then meditating, thinking, pondering on what the Spirit is expressly saying. And what the Lord wants us to do. This is how we are prepared for disaster and how we can prepare others for the times that we live in. The plane is going down. The plane of man's long rule of the earth is going down. But as long as we have our oxygen masks on, we'll be able to save others. We can't save the plane. Only Jesus can. But we can save others.
Paul encouraged Timothy, be an example to the Ephesians. He was not only to teach the people about Christ and his love, he was to live it out. When the character of Christ and the word of Christ are evident in the church, people in the world will be drawn to him. This is why we guard the truth so people will be saved by it. This is why we live with purity so people see the difference Christ makes. This is why we train for godliness so people see in us the majesty of Christ. May everything we do draw people to Jesus. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, we'll look at the different types of relationships in the church as we continue our series, Letters to Lead, Live, and Love By, in the first epistle to Timothy with Cheryl Broderson. We do hope you make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.